So, imagine you are in a kingdom, a fair and just kingdom, and the king of the kingdom, who is compassionate and merciful, has given you a noble task. The king has asked you to be his special ambassador in a faraway land, a land that is corrupted and does all sorts of evil. You are to represent the king and call people into obeying the king. The king tells you that you will face hardship, suffering, and you are to expect persecution. The king tells you that being his special ambassador is only given to those who uphold the king's beliefs, and that you are not to live as you're to live like a citizen of the kingdom, his kingdom. People in the faraway land don't uphold the king's beliefs and don't live like a citizen of the kingdom. The king explains that one day you will join him in his eternal kingdom, free from all pain and suffering, but you must be patient as you wait and serve him in the faraway land. The king reaffirms that you must be patient as you wait, as you suffer, and as you persevere through all things. The king tells you to stand firm in what you've learned from him and be his ambassador to the people. The king then tells you to go. Be courageous and live as an ambassador for the king. That's just a short story to get you thinking about what we have in God's word today. James has taken us from considering how we spend money to considering patience in life. We are not to spend or use money to indulge ourselves and bring pain on others, but to serve others. James now wants us to consider how we can be patient in these last days before King Jesus comes to bring his brothers and sisters home with him into the new creation. Without patience, then we can worry and we can fret. We can lose hope without patience and lack trust in our everlasting God and Father. We need patience. If you have heard all that James has given us in this letter so far, then this section is a reality check. Living for Jesus will involve suffering. Patience is displayed through perseverance. And as you persevere for Jesus, you're displaying patience and resilience to keep being patient. Now, if you don't struggle with living in this world, then James wants you to consider today whether you're actually longing for Jesus and his goodness. If you struggle with living in this world and can't bear waiting any longer to be with Jesus, then James wants you to consider whether you are being patient. Maybe you think you're all sorted with patience. You have persevered through hardship and you've suffered for Jesus. James wants you to pause and consider, what is actually the truth in your life? And if you don't think Jesus is coming back, then James wants you to hear clearly today, with good reason, that he is coming back to judge. These verses in James seem to draw our attention to this truth. In these last days, be patient and stand firm, because Jesus our Lord is coming soon. And to unpack that truth, James presents three approaches to being patient. Firstly, patience in waiting. Secondly, patience in suffering. And finally, patient perseverance. Patience in waiting, verses 7 to 9. Jesus, the Lord of all, is coming back, verse 7. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be comforted with this truth. He will come again. Hold on to that through whatever you experience. Know that your Lord, who has suffered for you and won you your freedom from living under the power of sin to living for him in his glory, will come back for you. He will bring you into his kingdom where there will be eternal life and no pain or suffering. And as we wait for that day, we need to be patient. But waiting isn't easy. James refers to the farmer who waits for all his hard work to bring fruit. The farmer sows the seeds and waits for the land to yield a valuable crop. The farmer patiently waits for the rain. Farmers again and again need to display patience as they wait for the harvest. Without patience, then the farmers wouldn't cope and they would be fretted. The farmer expects the harvest to come after his work, and God provides a harvest. We too need to be patient as we wait, and we need to stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Now we have to stand firm in the truth of God and his revelation to us. We are not to shy away from God's word and fail to defend and proclaim the gospel of Jesus. If Jesus is your king, then being willing to die for your king is the normal expectation. Jesus, our king, has already died for us. He loves us. And remember, we are ambassadors for our King Jesus, a great honour. Now many people have come up with reasons to deny the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. One reason is that Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead. People say this because they either haven't actually read God's word, or they just don't want to trust God at his word. Now we don't have scientific proof of Jesus' resurrection, but the word of God tells us that he rose, and that's enough. So brothers and sisters, stand firm in the truth of God's word. And you will be patient because you trust Jesus and know your security and provision is found in him. God's word is the unchanging revelation of God that sustains us to keep following him in all situations. And if we are not patient and if we don't stand firm, then how do you think we'll treat one another? Grumbling is a natural outworking of a lack of trust. James urges us in verse 9, "Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." James has not been scared or ashamed to write about judgment in this letter. James has written about how we can become judges of one another, such as chapter 2, verse 4. "Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Or chapter 4 verse 11, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it but sitting in judgment on it." In this instance in verse 9, James goes the next step, which is similar to chapter 2 verse 12. "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom." James confronts us further and makes a clear statement in verse 9 so that we recognise how vile and disgusting is one who grumbles against a brother or sister. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Now why would we grumble about someone? There can be many reasons. We can grumble because we are envious of someone. Sinfully, you can think, "I deserve that position." Or maybe you grumble because you just don't like something about that person. Or maybe you grumble because you want to see change within the church and not see change, but you're being ignored. Grumbling comes out of a heart that lacks trust in God and his goodness. You grumble because you do not patiently wait. Don't think you won't fall prey to this. I certainly am not spotless regarding grumbling. So just think how you would feel if you knew someone grumbled about you or complained about you. And if I have grumbled against anyone recently, then please let me know, because this must be cut off from us. We are not to grumble against one another, even if you grumble to God, because the motivation behind grumbling is to make it seem that you are better than that person. You deserve more than that person. The next time you think about grumbling, remember that if you grumble, then you will be judged, and the judge is standing at the door. And this is a warning from James. Don't think that when you grumble next you will be condemned. But know that if you don't repent, then judgment is reserved for you. Please stop yourself before you grumble. you do grumble, repent quickly, seek reconciliation, because Jesus has brought reconciliation to us. Grumbling about one another does not uphold our unity as the body of Christ. And our unity and love for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ is attractive to the world. Instead of grumbling, patiently wait for the Lord's return and stand firm in living for Jesus Christ. We can always talk with one another about issues rather than grumble. We can always talk to God about our concerns. We don't need to grumble. Patience in suffering, verse 10. Do we suffer for Jesus our Lord as we wait? We have examples of patience in the face of suffering. Consider the prophet Daniel. Daniel was a prophet during the period when God's people in the Old Testament Israel were exiled in Babylon. Now this was before Jesus, many centuries before Jesus was born into the world. And Daniel heard of the law in Babylon that was passed, and the law required all people of the kingdom to only pray to King Darius for 30 days. And when Daniel learned that the law had been published, he went to his room and prayed on his knees towards Jerusalem, his home city. He gave thanks to God, just as he had done before. And he was found to be praying, so he was punished. He was thrown amongst lions. And you wouldn't expect that he would have been, you would expect that he would have been mauled to death, but he wasn't. God actually delivered him from the lions. Daniel went through suffering because he kept living for God. Daniel did not lose trust in God at all. Daniel displayed patience in his situation. And if we are to suffer for the name of Jesus, then it is an honour, not a curse. If we suffer for Jesus, then don't think God is punishing us. Daniel kept worshipping God, though the laws of the land told him to stop worshipping God. Well, consider Jeremiah, a prophet who lived earlier than Daniel. He spoke God's word for many years and experienced suffering at the hands of Israel, who were meant to be worshipping God, but sadly had turned away to other gods. Jeremiah was even thrown down a dry well and left to die there. He was rescued after a period of time, but for many years, Jeremiah was an outcast in his society. Jeremiah even had to go into hiding for a period of time. Or consider the story of a man who was imprisoned for faith in Jesus in Iran. Family told him just to say that he also believed in Allah and Muhammad. His response to family was they just don't understand. This man was convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the Son of God. So, after some time, this man was killed for his faith in Jesus. This man suffered for Jesus. He was patient in his suffering because he kept trusting in Jesus and knew he was secure in him. From verse 10, we are told that suffering for the name of Jesus is not to be regarded as uncommon. So do we speak the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly and plainly? If so, then inevitably there will be people who are offended. The gospel of Jesus Christ is news which declares that Jesus is King of all, so that all those who don't submit to his kingship and rule will be punished one day. There is forgiveness for those who turn from living for themselves to living for King Jesus. But Jesus is judge as well as saviour. I know I have failed in courageously speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ along with explaining God's word well in the past. Explaining the gospel of Jesus to people is not easy. But don't give up. Engage with people and learn of their interests. Show empathy to people and listen to them. As you lovingly listen, then take the moments you have to share your interests. Share of your love for Jesus. You might be sharing something you learned from Sunday, a few sentences. God's word has power to transform lives. And along with courageously proclaiming the gospel of Christ, let me encourage you to live holy lives as ambassadors for the King. concerned about the unity of believers in Christ. Love one another genuinely. Do not show favoritism, but meet people from different backgrounds. And be generous with your money, which demonstrates your willingness to have less so that others will know God's grace. We are to do whatever is needed to serve our Lord, because that is the example of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, our servant King. If suffering comes your way because you stood up for Jesus, then you are blessed. Living as ambassadors for King Jesus isn't an easy path. Patiently suffering for Jesus is quite normal. Keep your heart pure before Jesus and live a holy life. Live for God's will on this earth. And this is a high calling, a great honour to be an ambassador for the King of the world, Jesus Christ. Patient perseverance, verses 11 to 12. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. And how do we know this? Remember James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. As we patiently wait and suffer, we are also to persevere. So have you heard of Job? God described Job like this. There is no one else on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, one who fears God and shuns evil. Now Job also lived before Jesus came to earth. He had wealth, family and honour before God. But one day Job lost all the possessions he had, except for the clothes on his back, and he lost his family. Job was in immense grief. But the amazing story of Job is that through all his suffering and grief, and even persecution for his belief, he did not stop trusting in God. Job continued to worship God. And later on in Job's life, as he persevered, God provided more than what he had in his earlier life. Perseverance through hardship strengthens our faith in Jesus. The testing of our faith produces perseverance. Perseverance for us will lead to unending, eternal and everlasting joy with Jesus Christ and God our Father, alongside all those who have patiently waited, suffered and persevered for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me say that you can read more about Job, Jeremiah and Daniel in books of the Bible. And you need to carefully read each book and consider the context each is in. But you will be amazed at God as you read and know him more. Valuable reading to keep persevering. A story from my life. I can remember many trials and hardships in my life. I could tell you story after story. And you would have some of your own. This one is about my professional experience in a primary school, which was an important subject for attaining a Bachelor of Education. Now, I simply was not ready for this experience. I didn't particularly grasp what was required of me, so I kept underperforming each day. I lasted longer in the school than I should have. I was a bit over halfway through when I met with the university supervisor and the supervisor at the school, and was told that I didn't meet the requirements to pass. I had failed. Now, I was devastated and disappointed in myself that I hadn't recognised my own problems. But through this hardship, I held close to the truth that Jesus is compassionate and merciful. I am secure with him. I could have despaired, complained, and walked away from university, but I thank God because he enabled me to persevere. The testing of my faith produces perseverance, and this continues to happen. We are blessed if we persevere in Christ. And many brothers and sisters in Christ have kept encouraging me to persevere with faith in Jesus. through any situation. And if you are here today, now that was one example, but there are various situations that test our faith in Jesus. Generally, you can be tested in your faith through suffering for Jesus because people cause problems for you as you stand firm in Christ, or through the death of a friend or family member, or through hard times in your life, or through your own sinfulness. In any moment when we are experiencing hardship or suffering, we can remember and hold close to our heart that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Our sin that causes problems now and is deserving of death does not remove the mercy of God. God's mercy is to erase the eternal punishment of our sin, eternal hell, through faith in Jesus Christ. God's compassion is to enable us to be patient in waiting, patient in suffering, and to patiently persevere. God compassionately provides for us through all the situations, and sometimes we simply need to wait on Him. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will provide an abundant and fulfilling eternal home with Him. Be encouraged. Jesus, our King, is full of compassion and mercy. As we persevere with faith in Jesus Christ, James wants to draw our attention to truthfulness in verse 12. When we simply say that we are to speak truthfully and sincerely, we are not to lie. James has already warned us to be wary of the tongue. You are ambassadors of King Jesus, who is the truth, so be honest and don't lie. You reflect our King in the words you say. In these last days, be patient and stand firm, because Jesus our Lord is coming soon. To conclude, brothers and sisters in Christ, you're in God's household with me. Live as ambassadors for King Jesus now. Patiently wait, patiently suffer, and persevere with patience. You can be patient because you know your eternal outcome. Eternity with Jesus is secure in Christ. And as you demonstrate patience, stand firm in God's word, because Jesus, our Lord and King, is coming soon. Our King Jesus will come one day to judge and bring his people into his eternal kingdom. But if you're not convinced of the need to be patient and to stand firm because Jesus is coming soon, then please consider this. What other option is there? We are in God's world, and though we've turned against him, he mercifully offers us a place in his kingdom. God demands perfection, and through Jesus, the perfect King, and in him, we can be more and more like Jesus now. One day, because of Jesus, we can enter his eternal kingdom full of joy and delight forever. We are protected from God's judgment through Jesus. So keep repenting and trusting Jesus, and know that he will demonstrate his compassion on you and prepare you for eternity with him. How wonderful that is. King Jesus is King of Kings. We need him. In these last days, brothers and sisters in Christ, be patient and stand firm, because our Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you are true. You are our God. Father, we love you. Enable us by your Spirit to keep obeying you, to stand firm in your words to us, to persevere. As you give us these trials in our lives, that through continual trust in you, that perseverance will just increase and increase, and that it will lead to flourishing in our lives for you. And that we will be there alongside one another to encourage one another to keep going for Jesus, to keep remembering our end, our eternal destiny with your Son, Father, to be with you, to know that King Jesus has offered us a place, that he has suffered for us, so we can suffer for him. Thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your compassion. In Jesus' name, amen.